This is Rick. I'm going to talk about working with knee jerks as they occur, sort of stopping yourself mid-jerk, if you will. And I'm going to read you just a few short portions out of my book, Why Don't You Want What I Want? And this is a chapter on avoiding knee-jerk reactions. First thing is focus on your intent. When knee jerks hit, it's easy to forget why we started talking in the first place. Suddenly and without warning, we may forget our original intent, and that's to engage the other person. And we revert to an instinctive moving against them, toward them, or away from them. A strong intention that we believe in deeply can help us stop reacting when we perceive a threat. In 1959, James Lawson, an African-American divinity student at Vanderbilt, was committed to pacifist teaching as a way to end radical injustice. He was as absolutely clear in his mission as he was in his own vision of what America should be. During a four-month sit-in to try to integrate lunch counters in Nashville, student protesters endured ketchup being poured on them and lighted cigarettes placed against their necks. As Minister C.T. Vivian knelt in prayer, a white boy punched him. One of the students raised his fist to retaliate. Vivian called to mind Lawson's nonviolent teaching and said, "Put your hands in your pockets." The protester obeyed. Vivian's intent was clear, to protest nonviolently, and he was so committed to this course of action that even physical abuse did not deter him. So the clarity of the intention is just uppermost. If my intent is to explore with you, if my intent is to be respectful of you, that opens the door to particular ways of looking at things and particular behaviors. If my intent is to just get my point across or to get my way, as you can see, then the notion of collaboration, learning from you, things like that aren't on the table. They're maybe a nice to have, but they're not essential. So it's important to have an intention in going into one of these meetings, whether it's with one other person or a room full of people, that is collaborative at its core. I'm there to present and I'm there to learn something. I'm there to be influenced. It's important to know what your triggers are. So what are the things that start a knee-jerk into action? And they aren't the same for all of us, nor are they the same in every situation. So think about the people who trigger you. As one of my friends once said, his boss gave him an acid bath whenever they got together. Well, what's important is to recognize, so what gives you an acid bath? Is it just the mere presence of the boss, or is it probably what the boss says, how he says it? Does he use sarcasm? Does he point fingers? Does he belittle people? Is it his tone of voice? Is it the way he rolls his eyes? The more you know about what triggers you, the less likely you are to get trapped by them. So just being aware of those triggers in you gives you a chance to practice them, to imagine, so what would happen? And that leads to the next thing you can do is to practice before the meeting. Well, what if this happens? What if Harry gets up and yells at me? What if Mary and her contingent start saying, "Yeah, there you go again"? How am I going to stay true to my intent? What am I going to do? So the more you can think about options, the less likely it is that you'll fall into the trap of a knee-jerk reaction. Knee-jerks happen when our amygdala, our level two response, happens way before the rational part of the brain can get engaged. And then we're trying to back off, trying to do something different, but often we've really made a mess of things, and so changing course can be very, very difficult. Here's a couple of things to do mid-jerk. One is use a mouth brace. Some who suffer from migraine headaches use a simple mouth brace. When you put it in your mouth, it relaxes the jaw muscles, relieving stress and reducing the intensity of the migraine. Using this as an analogy, and just an analogy, you might consider something similar, something that would remind you to relax or take a breath. Sometimes I draw a simple picture on the top corner of my notepad, a small circle with three dots in it. This represents a connect the dots picture with too few dots to make much sense yet. It's a reminder to myself that I'm there to learn something from the other person. It helps me keep my mouth shut when I really should be listening and learning. Another thing that can help with mid-jerks is wait for a better time to engage the person. Sometimes the timing is wrong for us to engage another person. We can already feel the tension building in anticipation of talking with this person. In this instance, moving away might be a great choice. Once we're a bit calmer, we may be freer to engage him or her more openly. One other thing you can do to stop mid-jerk is to know what the physical cues are. And all of us have them. For some people, they can feel their neck get tense. Some people can actually feel their pulse go up. Some people say their blood pressure rises. What are the signals to you? Because once you know your signals, let's say that you can feel your face flush, you don't have to understand why it's happening. All you have to do is understand it's happening. The best thing for me to do is to shut up. Shut up, count to 10. Shut up, take a sip of water. But do something so that you don't automatically move into knee-jerk territory. Working with knee-jerks is maybe the single most important thing that you as a leader can do to help support the changes that you're leading. The better you are at controlling your own knee-jerks, the better you're going to be able to engage with other people. I truly do wish you well.